Dude, it's, come on. It was awesome, okay? I'll fix that. Here we don't go.
Okay.
I'm tired. All right. One more time. Here we go. You are listening to the Frilla Bros Tech Podcast, episode 259. Apple doesn't want you to hear this.
Season 6, episode 259 of the Frilla Bros Tech Podcast. Today is September the 11th, 2016. I'm Matthew Dean Frilla, and boldly going where someone else went like 50 years ago is my brother, James Frilla.
Yeah, that's right. Star Trek is on their, their 50-year anniversary? Man. Mm-hmm. That's a long time. How old does that make Captain Kirk? He must be really up there.
He's like 80s. He's late.
Like, I was going to say at least 70. I don't know how old he feels like. It looks like what he was like 25 when he first got started. But
what was his name? It's
Captain Kirk.
Okay. That really super helpful. Captain Kirk.
Just type that in. He'll pop up. Did it work?
Yeah. Well, it's working. It's working. James T. Kirk, William Shatner.
Okay. Yeah, that's his name.
The Bill Shatner. Bill Shakespeare.
Let's see. Yeah, he's born in 1931. He's 85.
Yeah.
Actually looks pretty good for 85.
For 85, it doesn't look bad at all. And he still has that weird way of talking to people.
You know it works.
You know what? Who am I to question him? So that's kind of cool. I'm a big Star Trek fan.
I've never got into like the Deep Space one or Voyager. I kind of stopped at Next Gen, though. I did watch Enterprise, which is like the original crew going out and starting their thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't got into the later ones. I feel like they're more like just regular dramas.
Yeah.
They're on space stations, and it's like, oh, a drama in space. Like, don't need that.
Yeah. I know people who Voyager is their favorite series.
Really?
Yeah. And big Star Trek fans who have seen every episode of everything, and the Voyager series was their favorite. I've never heard anybody say that about Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. All right. So Voyager's worth checking out. Good to know.
Yeah. I mean, you say at the very least it's worth checking out, but might be good. But you know, James, it's not the only thing that went on this week. As you mentioned, I'm in England.
Oh. Yeah, which may not get picked up in the final recording, but yeah, I said that we were the Transcontinental Frilla Bros Tech Podcast.
Yes.
How's the land of Wales?
It's pretty good, actually. It's super nice out. Like, it was raining yesterday when I got here, but I went to a rugby match, and then
how was that?
And it was pretty fun. It was cool. It was a local club, so it wasn't.
Did you
like
understand anything going on?
I kind of get it. Like, I couldn't play. I don't know the rules that well, but it's like, yeah, the scoring doesn't befuddle me. It's 5 points if you cross the line. It's 6 points if you cross the line through the uprights. Then you get an extra point kick, and then they get like, yeah, I don't know. You can kick it forward. You can throw it backwards, and it's pretty fun. And then there's that bit where both teams. Like, lock up together.
Thing? Scrum? Yeah, then, is that what they call it?
Yeah, they did a little scrum, the scrimmage thing. The part that I don't get about it is, this is clearly what's supposed to happen, is everybody gets into, like, if you've never seen rugby, like, both teams, like, stack into each other, so you get three people that interlock their heads, like, from each team, so they're pushing up against each other. And then other members of their teams get behind them, and so it's, like, three layers deep. There's, like, nine people all together, and they start pushing on each other and trying to drive forward and backwards. But one of the teams gets the ball, and they throw the ball into the huddle onto the ground. And then it seems as though the goal is to kick the ball backwards so that somebody on your team can grab the ball, and then the rest of the play takes place. Huh. But my question is, who gets to throw the ball? And, like, why are they, like, the way they're throwing the ball, why don't they, like, try to spin it really hard? I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I guess my point is, it is really fun to watch, but it does not seem like a fair way to decide who gets the ball at the end.
fair enough.
But
interesting. All right. How long do the games last?
It was 40 minute halves. So it's like soccer.
Okay. It's like a soccer. Or that's reasonable. Football,
as everybody was calling it.
Yeah, they would there.
So weird.
And what time is it there? It's 6 a.m. right here.
It is 2 in the afternoon, so I'm feeling bright and shiny and sunshiny. But I did want to mention this because for this show, I'm always, it's when I do it abroad, there's different strategies. Do I bring a laptop and do it on my laptop? Do I bring my phone and just do it on my phone that I don't have a screen to look up articles on?
You're right.
So it's like, it becomes this complicated question, and spur of the moment, I decided on Thursday, as I was getting ready, like my last day for packing or whatever, I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. There's going to be a TV in my room with an HDMI connector, which means I could bring a computer with an HDMI. Like, it doesn't have to have a screen. So I packed up my Raspberry Pi with my keyboard and mouse, and so I'm using the video audio function on my iPhone for what we're doing, but I got the Raspberry Pi set up for articles and internet surfing and whatever.
Wow.
I know, I feel pretty cool. Nerd. That's awesome.
Did you actually save any packing space using that method?
Yeah, because really and truly, like, I could have brought my iPad is so old in the tooth, it really doesn't, I've used it for the podcast before, and it just frankly does not work that well at this point, because it's the original iPad mini. Like, it's old.
Oh my gosh, how do you live?
I know. And so I really needed to bring a computer, like, to be able to do the show, and so my option was going to be bringing my laptop, and my laptop works great, but it's kind of bulky, and not having to carry that was amazing. That was really pretty nice.
Not having to take it out of your case.
Exactly. Make sure it's not a bomb. So it was, yeah. So, you know, feeling, like you said, feeling a little dorky, but how are you doing, James?
This is day 7 of my fast, and I've been keeping a video journal of my experience. There's one clip where I look miserable. I'm doing okay right now. I'm a morning person, but it was honestly, actually, it was the clip. I did a quick clip right after I was up around midnight on Friday, which we'll talk about. And then I had to get up at 5 a.m. the next morning for something. And that 5 a.m. came awfully fast. And I've actually been having trouble sleeping. And just tossing and turning. And so just when you combine can't fall asleep with I didn't really give myself enough time to sleep, that was just trouble. But right now I'm doing okay. I've got a couple weird things going on. First one, my tongue is all white, which is expected because that's like toxins trying to get out of my body. So woohoo on that. But whenever I'm sitting or laying down for a while and then stand up, I black out for a couple seconds.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, I'm conscious, but just everything just goes dark, black, and then, like, fades back in. It's like a fade out and a fade in. It's weird.
That seems unhealthy.
You know what? It happened to me all the time in 7th grade when I grew, like, 5 inches that year.
Yeah, so, I remember that. I remember that when that happened to you.
And the hypothesis the doctor gave was my blood vessels are just not constricting fast enough to keep the blood where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Taller or something. I don't know. So obviously I'm not any taller. If anything, I'm 10 pounds lighter, which probably is related to losing some muscle. And so it's just not as effective as pumping the blood up. Pretty interesting. Later today, I'm going on a 2-hour mountain bike ride.
What?
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, seriously.
Sounds like fun. I did a bunch of construction work yesterday. I'm sore, but it was okay. But it's going good. I'm excited to eat tomorrow. I have to get up at 4 a.m. tomorrow so I can get on a plane at 8 a.m. to go to work. But
what time is your first meal?
4 a.m. tomorrow.
4 a.m. All right. Okay. Gotcha. That's going to be a fun flight, man. Your stomach is going to be all sorts of messed up.
Oh, I know. It's all right. I got a plan, though. I got a plan.
It's funny. We genetically have low blood pressure. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Much of it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like our grandparents suffered from it. Our dad has it. You and I have it. Kind of. I actually don't have that low blood pressure. For a long time, I had really normal blood pressure, which always kind of befuddled my doctors because I was really, really overweight.
So what do you have now? Is it now low?
It's low now.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, all things considered, I guess it's okay, you know? Just like balance that. I was self-medicating. But I prefer it this way. But it's funny that you say that because nowadays I do every once in a while I'll stand up and I don't black out, but I'll stand up and just like want to like, you know,
stumble it's like dizziness. Yeah. Like, whoa. Yeah.
Which is related
I get that
to,
feeling too, I guess, but
which is related to on. That's funny. Interesting. Is Very it? Cool. Yeah. But James, you know what? We're not here to talk about food and Star Trek and that actually is not too far out of her. But anyways, what we hear, James, this week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, and by that we mean the soap opera of corporations dealing back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course the technology they are developing. But before we get into the heart of the show, James has got a disclosure he wants to throw our way.
I need to disclose exactly 3 things this morning, okay?
Okay.
First disclosure, I work and founded HPI, but do not represent HP Inc. or any of HP Inc.'s opinions. Second, I am an owner, partially, of Twitter, Etsy, and Lending Club. And then third, and this is probably the most important disclosure besides the whole legal thing, for this episode, And it's because I've read some articles this week where guys were clearly biased, and so I feel the need to express my biases. And so that third disclosure is that what would that be? Friday morning at around 12:05, I purchased not one iPhone but 2 iPhones, one for me and my wife, and a new Apple Watch, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. So I'm slightly biased in favor of Apple. That's my disclosure.
Well, I am biased in favor of good engineering and good technology, whoever develops it. And it's interesting that you bring that up because I've actually seen a lot more of that, of accusations of biases, about, like, within the tech industry, like, more than ever, which I think is weird, because it's like, you know, the whole Apple fanboy, Google fanboy thing was, like, a really big thing just a couple of years ago, and I feel like people have been kind of, like, stepping back, but all of a sudden, it's just, like, people are saying all sorts of stuff about the iPhone launch event that other people don't like, and it's always, well, you're biased, and so, yeah, we'll come out and say, yeah, we're a bit biased. We tend to like Apple products, just as a heads up. It doesn't mean they're without criticism, but I think that should make my criticism even more valid. That
yes,
we're big Apple fanboys. So that's
and that. To help justify my purchase, you will probably hear very little criticism coming from me.
Fair enough. Yes, I did not buy. I'm more than happy with my 6S Plus, so I'll be staying old. So if you want to follow us throughout the week, you can track all sorts of our internet stuff. I'm sure I'll be posting pictures of this quaint little English town. My Instagram is nextwiggin4, nextwiggin, and then the number 4. My Twitter is at Matthew D. Furlow.
I am jamesfurlow.com, which eventually I will post my full experience about the fast on. I'm also James Furlow on Twitter and on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram, everywhere. Cool.
If you want to get more about the show, specifically any of the articles we've talked about today, they're all going to be at furloughbros.com. Any of the videos or audio clips, anything that comes up, we'll put it there so you can go and check it out. Also, if you want that delivered directly to your email box every weekday on Monday, you can sign up for our newsletter where we'll be delivering that content to you. Also, what was the other thing? Our Patreon. If you'd like to support the show, we'd super appreciate it. And we will do great things with it, like go to Lisbon. Are we going to Lisbon?
No, not this year.
Ah, dang.
Sorry.
That's what I figured, but bummer.
I tried.
We got to make it happen.
Genuinely tried.
I believe you. We were talking to, what was the name of the conference? This maybe is the reason why.
Web Summit?
The Web Summit?
It would have been a perfect match.
The problem is, I
wanted to get in for free, and they weren't quite willing to go that route.
What was it? Just out of curiosity, for our people who are thinking of supporting us on Patreon, how much is it to get in as a media mogul?
700 bones per person.
Oh, per person,
not including hotel and flight.
Yeah, because. I've looked into the flights. It was like for the really bad flights that have like 3 layovers and takes 8 days to get there or whatever. It was like a grand round trip. So it would have been a pricey little experience, but it'd been so good. Think of the content, James. Think of the content.
That's part of our dream. That's where we want to go.
We're
not there yet, but that's part of our vision.
But this is the sort of thing, when we talk about Patreon, that's the sort of thing that we'd like to be able to do. So it's sort of stuff we're working for.
Yeah, that way we can add even more depth and commentary to what's happening in the tech world. And add that bigger perspective.
And to be even a little more specific, like, you know, you don't have to give us $700 a month for this to work.
You can.
Don't feel like you don't want. If you're a giant investor and you've got money coming out of your ears, just feel free. But any little bit helps. Exactly. So speaking of big investments, Intel.
Nice transition.
And thank you. Intel made an investment this week. They bought Movidius. I always have a hard time saying their name.
Movidius.
Well, I think it's Movidius, but I think it's supposed to be movie, like Movidius. Movidius.
Oh.
Doesn't matter. Okay. So, why did they buy...
Well, shame on them for a complicated name.
Yeah, there we go. So, why did they buy Movidius? Well, it turns out that Movidius is it's the company behind a couple of different types of technology, particularly... Project Tango is something that I've talked about for a while. It's Android, or not Android, it's Google's 3D mapping technology, where you like mm-hmm. build it into a phone, and it'll allow you to have all sorts of depth sensing, use a number of different camera sensors all packaged together. And that the original package, the current one they're using, isn't built by Movidius, but the original one was built by Movidius. And then also DJI, the drone company, their computer vision stuff is all based around Movidius technology. Oh. And so I guess what Intel bought them for was to boost their RealSense camera, which was the original company that built the the Kinect technology for the Xbox. So
they're all planning on AR. It sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly. It's well, and what they're talking about is computer vision. So there's all sorts of computer vision companies going on right now, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Whether it's DJI and drones. I wasn't going to talk about it, but it came up on its own. What company was it? Parrot just launched. They launched a machine vision for drones kit, and it uses like a full blown GPU in it. It's nuts. It's got two cameras, a GPU, runs Linux, and it's a pretty powerful little package. But there's a lot of different companies coming out with that sort of thing, and that's clearly where everybody's trying to go with this. And yeah, so it's I think Intel, so
they missed the smartphone, but they're trying to get it on this next gen. I'm okay with that.
Cool. Yeah, I like it because I guess that's the big takeaway, right? And it's Intel clearly messed up when it came to mobile technology. Like that one just completely blindsided them. Whether it was it's like for some reason they weren't able to build a mobile CPU that anybody wanted. But not only like that, they knew that the wireless modem technology was going to be huge, but they bet on a different technology than Qualcomm, and Qualcomm's LTE stuff won. And Intel is getting aggressive now that they're like, we can do this, guys. It's pretty exciting. But yeah, it's all of these things are going to go together into building, whether it will be AR, headset components or drone stuff or whatever. And it's all going to be, it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see what they come up with.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. I want to share some stats, which are, in my opinion, interesting in and of themselves, but also kind of a primer for our big story, Apple. And just kind of like, there's a reason why we spend so much time talking about Apple and Google and what it is that they're doing with their various operating systems. There's my justification. And here's the first one. It's a new study by ComScore that was looking at the amount of time people spent on different devices and doing different activities. People spend about 57% of their time on their smartphone.
Wow.
The desktop is only 32%.
Wow.
And tablets round out the bottom here at 11%, which is interesting to me. I would have thought that would have been higher, but is what it is. And of that, and also when you include tablet and smartphones together, people spend about 59% of their time in apps, using apps. By the way, I bet you can guess the number one app that people spend time on.
Safari, Chrome.
No, actually. That's not even in the top 15.
Pokemon Go.
That is number 13 on the list.
Wow. All right. I don't know. I have no idea.
Facebook. You're just not thinking. Yes. Number one.
Obviously. Yeah. The only company we hadn't mentioned yet.
And by the way, number two is Facebook Messenger. Oh. So, good job, Facebook. You're winning the
Apple. Where does WeChat rank?
Nowhere.
Huh.
I don't know. This is US only.
That's why.
Yeah. Let's see here. Other obvious ones, YouTube is pretty big. Instagram is up there. Good job again. Apple Music. Amazon Mobile is actually in there. And then there's Snapchat and Pinterest are running at the bottom. So Snapchat's not, I mean, the nature of the app is you're not on it very long, but relative to the big guys, they're not as big. So you're welcome for that little tidbit. But yeah, by the way, in 2013, the number of people spending time on apps, or the percent of time people spent on their apps, was 34%. So there is a clear upswing going on with it. It's incredibly popular. Yeah. I guarantee you, by the time they do this next year, Pokemon Go won't be on that list, but yeah, it is what it is. But kind of cool to see that. That also just tells you how insanely popular it got, that it ranked that high that quick. I think they were saying like 4 months for it to crack the top 15, which is insane.
That is crazy.
But yeah, so just wanted to share some of that we are spending a ridiculous amount of time in apps. And I know for me personally, I was like, man, only spending 60% of my time in apps almost seems low.
Yeah.
But that just may be me. I don't know. I guess if you include my work hours as opposed to personal time, all right, maybe it all evens out. But I don't know if it does. But anyways, all that to say, like, smartphones and apps are kind of a big deal.
Yes. I would agree with that assessment of the...
In case you didn't know.
Yeah, kind of a big deal. It's so good. So, yeah, but it's interesting that you would say that, James, because we're going to spend 50% of this show talking about smartphones. Yeah, one in particular, in case you weren't following any news this week, we appreciate that you come to us for it. But yeah, Apple made an announcement this week.
Yeah, they did. And so, obviously, I'm in. Let me give some details. So, right. I got the 7 Plus.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's the silver, and it's the 128 gigabytes. I really only need the 64, but that's all they give me. Sorry, what?
I said, welcome to the club, man. You'll use it, even though you don't know it.
I guess it'll probably just end up storing more photos locally probably what will happen.
Yeah.
So let's see here. So I got that. Jesse got the same thing, except went with the jet black.
Ooh, that's what I do. Did you?
So she'll be getting hers in 2 to 3 weeks, and I get mine next week, assuming Jesse's home to sign for it. I'm thinking through how to circumvent that little system. Yeah, and then I ended up getting the Nike Plus watch because I love their watch band, which will come late October. I honestly was like, okay, how much do I love this watch band?
Yeah.
Is it worth waiting a whole month? And Jesse, rightly so, who, by the way, was up with me at midnight ordering this stuff, she was just like, she goes, look, you know you're going to have this thing for a few years. It's worth a month to get what you want.
That's like,
it's pretty sound logic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So, so that's what I got coming. So my phone should be here by our podcast next week.
That's awesome.
So that's what I got. I was pretty sure. Oh, the other big thing, we're switching over because we have a daughter who ruins products for us. Love you, Eleanor. we ended up getting Apple Care, and as a result, jumped over to the Apple Upgrade Program. So we're saving money on the whatever that's called, the phone bill side, but spending more than enough on paying for the phone itself now. So that's
cool. It's very exciting. Yeah, I like it.
So that's what I got. And I got it specifically for the dual lens because that just sounds awesome. and actually the bigger screen. I love that. And the extra battery life. I literally, and I'm teeing things up right now. I literally don't plug in my phone during the day. Plug it in at night, and then when I wake up, unplug it. And when I get to the end of the day, if it's like at 30%, I'll be like, wow, what did I do today?
That's interesting. That's really interesting to me. I savage my battery, but I'm a different type of user. And I've got better battery life on my 6S Plus than you have on your 6S or your 6 Plus.
And yeah. It's true. And I think it just goes to show that Apple is continuing to develop for regular users, which
yeah.
I think I'm more and more falling into that camp, which is sad. But
oh, you're so regular. So I guess we should probably cover the basics. Well, I don't know. How do you want to? Let's.
Okay, so iPhone 7. It's got a couple things. It's water resistant.
Okay.
Is that okay with?
So I was.
I don't care.
All right, because I wanted to kind of work towards the iPhone because I feel like I'm going to get all riled up, and I'm not going to be able to.
Sure. Geez. So,
I know we actually talked about this beforehand too.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So we'll go with the order that you talked about doing. So the first one that they talked about was super exciting if you are into plumbers.
Yeah.
Which I am. So, it looks like something I thought impossible is possibly happening.
Yeah. So this was really fascinating to me because a couple of years back, Nintendo put out the statement that there's no way we're ever going to bring our intellectual property to smartphones. And their basic argument was that
there's value in controlling the software and hardware together to create unique, fun experiences.
Right. And they were talking about how it's like part of Nintendo's core identity to be doing their own platforms and to not have, to not build for something else. And, putting Mario on mobile would make good short-term profits, but would ultimately devalue the property. Now that it's here, we have to wonder, is Nintendo still Nintendo? So, yeah.
Well, the answer is no. I mean, if you've been following them at all, they're really struggling. And I think, and it's one of those where it's like, if the value of, I'll put it in real numbers, I guess. If the current value of Mario, let's say, on their platform is $200, you probably got to add a bunch of zeros to it. And if they brought it to mobile, it would only be worth $100. You go, no, you don't do it. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
But then over time, the value of Mario via their platform has been shrinking. And my guess is now it's under that $100 example. And so at that point, you go, oh, it's time to switch. You actually see this exact same thing with truckers, where depending on the gas price will depend on how many aerodynamic things they add to their trucks. And for them, it's just a simple equation where it's like, well, if gas prices raise up to X, it now makes sense to invest in this whatever Aerion thing,
right?
Because it will save us this percentage on gas money, so we do it. We've heard that exact same argument with McDonald's. Raise the minimum wage on us, it now makes sense for us to replace that person with a robot. And that's got to be the same logic that Nintendo is using, which is, well, the value of our platform is going down. It doesn't have the same reach. We think for X price point, we can reach so many more people. We're going for it, which I think is more of a commentary on how much their business has sunk as opposed to how successful smartphones are.
Well, it's not even that. It's also the fact that they would look at when that comment was made, it was like 2012. You're still in like relatively early generations of of these phones, and like that's none true. Of them had integrated GPUs.
And so the Wii was still strong.
The Wii was strong. And the Game Boys had dedicated, dedicated integrated GPUs. I mean, they were platforms designed to do high end graphics. So, or not high end necessarily, but to do like render graphics that they wanted. Whereas smartphones really weren't. Like they weren't.
They don't have buttons and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a very degraded experience on smartphones, and so bringing that IP to a smartphone, they would have to step back and say, no, we're going to make worse games. It's going to look bad. It's not going to be as fun to play. It will be a degraded experience compared to our other platforms. And we don't want to diminish the value of the brand by making bad games because the platform can't support good games. And I think that there is, so I think what's happened is I agree with you completely. We've watched the value of Nintendo shrink on their own platforms, but you've also seen just the quality of the gaming platforms increase as well. And there's proven revenue streams from these from platforms like the iPhone and Android, but they're just so much better when it comes to doing graphics and overall gameplay. So if you can develop a game that can work with the touch interface, the touch screen, then the value of the brand isn't diminished just by being on an iPhone. And so it's like the value has gone up of putting it on the iPhone. The value of it being on just Nintendo owned platforms has gone down, and yeah, they crossed the tipping point, and they probably crossed the tipping point like a year and a half ago, and they've just been trying to figure out, you know, and it's like
the I'm shocked though that they're doing Mario instead of like, could they not have made the same fun game with like one of their off-brand characters? But I don't know.
Man, if Steve Jobs was still alive and part of this conversation, I'd have assumed that Steve talked them into doing Mario, because you're right. It doesn't feel like the sort of thing you'd go to. Mario. You're going to go with Mario as your like big breakout, like, but at the same time, I guess it's a, you know, Nintendo, they're willing to hit it hard, and it looks legitimately fun.
It does. What I'm excited about is it's a side-scroller game that is not going to be instantly hard. It's one where they're going to do great design, and you will learn along the way and get better at it.
Yeah.
And which is what they've talked about, and I'm like, man, I'm just excited for some solid game development to happen. And because a lot of those Running Man games, they're instantly hard, like Flappy Birds. Oh, no learning curve. Sorry, good luck with that.
Right.
Oh, okay. Or ones where they speed up way too fast.
Yeah, the learning curve is they're designed to become they hit an impossibility wall. Is what they're designed to do, and it's just how quickly do you get to the impossibility wall, or they're perpetually boring. They don't become more interesting. Because that was one of the things that I was that they're commenting on, is how, you know, Nintendo likes to, they talk about how they're an innovative company. They like to bring innovative technologies to the table for innovative gameplay. And one of the one article in particular was talking about how, you know, running games like this, the continuous scrollers, that is really well trod ground on touchscreen, you know, on the iPhone, on the Android. And although I agree with them that it's really well trod game, I've never seen one that I really liked.
There's one. You gotta check it out. It's called Jetpack Joyride.
Okay.
And it's, I still play it to this day. I've had it for a few years now. And what I love about it, what they've figured out how to do, it's a side scroller. You're in a jetpack. You're going up and down, trying to avoid stuff and collect coins and whatever. Is they add three goals for you. And once you complete a goal, a new goal comes up and you get coins for doing it, whatever. But they're usually by the goals changing, it changes the way you play the level. So, like, one of them is literally, like, scrape your head against the ceiling for 300 meters. another one is there's scientists that are running around the bottom because you're trying to steal the jetpack. Where it's, like, give 50 scientists a high five. Some of them are like, you'll get these special vehicles and it'll be like, fly this special vehicle for 300 meters in a single game, whereas, or single run, whereas others might be, ah, do it cumulative. Some of them are like, play three games. The really fun ones are die somewhere between the 1500 meter mark and the 2000 meter mark. And it's fun. Like when you die, like sometimes you fall, you know, you don't just, where you die, you're dead.
Yeah.
And so you kind of got to time it. And I've had one where I fall just like 2 meters outside of it. And you're like, no! But it's super fun. And so they figured out ways to, there's one where it's like, go 1,000 meters without collecting any coins. Like, oh, okay. And so they managed to make this continuous run game fun by changing your objective. And it's like, they're all, if you play it, you can accomplish whatever that goal is. At least you can accomplish at least one of the goals almost every single run.
Right.
Sometimes it takes two or three, but so it's always changing. And they do a good, and they do a fairly good job of, so you start slow and then over time it, you know, speeds up on you.
What's the game called? Jetpack
Joyride.
Jetpack Joyride.
Yeah. But that's the only one that I found that's fun. Other ones are just like, no, they're way too hard, too fast. But if Mario does anything close to that, oh man, it'll be good.
The thing is, also to me, like if you watch really good players play Mario, especially your like any of the side scrolling ones, they're continuously moving. They might be switching between left and right, but they never stop moving. The game is designed, just in its nature, to be a continuous side scroller. And so the only innovation that they're doing here is that in order to change directions, you have to hit blocks. But effectively, it's the same game, and you can't stop. But like you said, Nintendo's really, really good at nailing the educating and increasing the difficulty level so that as you play the game, you can keep up with the rising. And I think it's really, I think it's a good move for them. Then, and the other thing that they said is that, the thing that's pointed out, which I thought was really interesting, is that Nintendo they've got the problem that their current generation system isn't selling anymore. They've already announced their next generation system, and we're coming on to Christmas, and the next generation system is not going to come before Christmas. So they need something to not have their stock just fall apart this Christmas, and Mario
I think this is one where it's not going to hurt their main system.
Right.
It's just not the way people work. If this game is fun and a bunch of people download it, they're going to go, oh, new Nintendo thing. I have a Nintendo game. I like it. Let me check it out.
Right. You know. Right.
And you know they're not going to price it at $3.99. Right. So that's not a problem.
They'll make the ecosystem argument is that we're building a gaming ecosystem, different games for different types of games for different types of platforms.
Totally.
You know, you want the original Mario side scroller, you're still going to have to buy a Wii or a Game Boy. You're not going to be able to.
So a couple interesting things behind it. The first one is, I don't know if you've done this yet, but you can go to the App Store and get a notify button.
Ooh.
They'll send you a push notification when the app is available.
Ooh.
So there's all sorts of questions around, ooh, is this a one-time thing? Is this a new capability for other app developers? Is this just for Apple? Is it a pay-to-play? I don't know, but I love it. So a bunch of developers are like up in a tizzy about, what is this? But for normal people like you and I, get notified.
That's funny. That is interesting because it's like, you know, they do that with music. Why wouldn't they be able to do that with apps? There's something else coming.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So I think it's a new thing we'll be seeing. The other thing, by the way, is two observations. Number one, I think Apple's starting to experience some of that King of the Hill syndrome again.
Yeah.
And one of them, a perfect example of this is the way that an article was, the title of it was How Nintendo Stole the Show from Apple. Okay.
Mm.
And I was like, they stole the show from Apple. What did they do to do that? And so I started looking into it. And it was like, move over, Apple. The breakthrough winner from the iPhone maker's big reveal Wednesday was video game maker Nintendo. It's like, oh, they didn't steal the show. It's just talking about share prices, which Nintendo's share price jumped 29%.
Holy cow. Jeez.
Whereas Apple's only went up like 2% or something like that, or 0.5%, or I don't know, not much. And so they were just like, therefore, yeah, Nintendo stole the show. It's like, whoa, like, good job on the clickbaity title.
Right.
That's not what this is about. And I think it's just, A, it points to King of the Hill. You know, everyone wants to see, oh, Apple's not winning. By the way, Nike rose 0.5% as well.
I especially love that in the context of the fact that Apple stock always falls after a keynote.
I know.
It's fallen after an iPhone release, every iPhone release for like the last 6 iPhone releases. It went up this time. That should blow people's minds. This is such good news. Like, there's optimism about Apple's stock right now. Like, that's the greatest thing that's happened to this company since the iPhone. Like, what are you talking about?
But pretty funny. Anyways,
like you said, it's all clickbait, though. They want to...
But Nintendo stock, you know, this is the second time it got a nice bump from Pokemon Go, from which they did nothing. And
yeah, they literally weren't involved in.
I know. They licensed part of their IP ownership. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How sweet of a business is that, though?
No, I know. Speaking of Pokemon Go, so it's coming to a new platform as well, one that
sure
you haven't invested in. Yeah, I know. I felt so I actually watched the keynotes. And when the Pokemon Go guy got announced, I was just like, wait, I thought this was over. I thought we were all done with the whole Pokemon Go thing.
Yeah.
Did I
just read the news?
Did I miss something?
People aren't playing it anymore, but
yeah. Okay. which is funny because it's like, it's still going to be, I actually think it will be a hugely popular game for a long time by Pokemon standards. Like it's going to be a very big game. It's just the whole everybody plays it thing. So from that, you know, is over. Everybody's talking about it. That's clearly not what's going to happen. But yeah, I get why you'd bring them on stage, and it's a little bit of the zeitgeist too. So why not? Can't hurt.
Yeah. By the way, what did you think of that opening video montage? James Corden in the car. So yeah. Classic. I like it, man. They're getting into the, like you said, the zeitgeist. Like, this is a thing, mm-hmm. And so we're going to do it.
Yeah,
I wish that Tim Cook was, how do I want to say it, not as self-conscious about himself, because he should have walked on stage wearing those glasses the entire time and just owned it. Instead of walking in, like, showing them to the people and then tossing them.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, you should have worn them. And then take it off. I just should have owned it. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's something that someone who, like an actor or someone just really comfortable with themselves, would have done.
I agree, but I don't disagree with.
Or at least like on top of his head, you know.
Well, I could. So I think what he should have done is walked in with them on. Like, that's the thing that got me. He didn't even walk in with them on. Like, walk in with them on and then be like, oh, excuse me. Like, you could take them off right away, but, you know, I don't know. Whatever. But that is such a small part of my complaint. I think his team could generally does a good job.
I totally agree. Yeah. So what?
It was a good opening, and I thought that was...
Oh, yeah, super entertaining. Nice to
see. Yeah. And... Yeah, it was good. It's good stuff. But they, the new Apple Watch, man. New Apple Watch has come. So what sold you on the Nike Plus? For those of you who don't know, Nike has teamed up with Apple to make a Nike-themed Apple Watch 2.
So, it's not what Nike wants to hear, though they'll take the credit. It's the watch band.
Yeah,
it looks awesome. I doubt I'll be using their apps very much, and because I'm just not a fanatic runner like a lot of their stuff is designed for. But the watch band looks awesome. And somewhere Apple changed the way you order watches on their site. Like, I literally could not figure out how to order a different color elastomer band. Couldn't figure it out. It was like, if I wanted the aluminum one, which is what I got, the silver aluminum, I was with a white watch band. Or I could get the Nike one, which genuinely looks cool. But there was a part of me, again, I was like, a month into it, I was like, do I want to wait a month? What do those other colors look like?
Yeah.
You know? And because I probably would have gone like with a dark blue or something, because that would have been cool. I couldn't figure out how to order it.
You may not have been able to.
I don't think they've changed that.
They've changed that. I think that's how it's always been.
You always were stuck with white if you did silver aluminum.
I believe so. Because I know that that's what Mac Daily News was complaining about that for months when they first bought theirs, was they wanted the aluminum space gray, and they wanted a black band because they thought that the white band looked girly. I went out of my way to get the white band because I thought the white band looked good, but who's uncomfortable now? But but they complained about it because the black band came like months later, and they were like, oh, I hate having to wear the white band with my space gray watch. Like, why would they do this? What's wrong with that? And that was one.
Well, I had a friend. He got a blue one with his.
Are you sure he didn't just get the blue band separately? Or
no, I guess I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I might be wrong, but that was my.
But I genuinely liked the Nike's watch band, the way that looked, and you could only get it if you ordered the Nike watch, which has a bunch of Nike specific apps on it. Because I was like, maybe I can get it after the fact, and because I was like, I'd get a blue one plus a Nike one plus I'd find some third party Metal Link one. And which I did. So I think I'm going to get that before I get the watch. So I went with the Nike one. Exact same price. I like the watch band. I just kind of wait a little bit.
I would go for the, I'd go for the, if I could get the Nike band, I'd buy one. They look cool.
Yeah, they generally do. That's why I bought that one.
So there were some other announcements around the Apple Watch, the new two. It's swim proof, which I hear so many people complaining about, like,
Oregon proof.
Why would you call it swim proof? Like, it's not an actual thing. Like, why not just call it like what is it? And like, oh my gosh, people drive me nuts. Like, look. It has a specific waterproofing rating. You can look it up online, but nobody knows what the waterproofing rating means on anything. Like, they came up with a catchy, yes, albeit not officially like regulated terminology.
Retina display.
Yeah, let people know at a moment what they're talking about, which is to say, you can't go deep water diving with this watch on. But you can go swimming with it. That seems good enough. How about we calm down on the whole? Like, it's it's swim proof. It's waterproof. They had to change how the microphone worked in order to get that functioning, which I thought was interesting. But the big thing, so obviously inside they made some other changes. Number one, it's like 2 times faster than my watch. My watch is old and slow and terrible.
So crummy.
I know. But it also comes with GPS, which is kind of cool. And
yeah, I'm not sure how big of a deal that is, but I guess runners think it's a big deal. Can you store music on your watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. It's funny. I was talking with my girl.
But not podcasts, right? If I remember correctly. Or audiobooks?
I don't know. I think you can get third-party apps for it, though.
Oh,
like,
right.
At this point, you can, I think... it was funny because I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and she was like, what is the point of having GPS on the watch if you can't listen to music like through your watch? It's like, you can listen to music through your watch. And she's like, yeah, but you have to have your phone there, right? And I was like, no, you can. And I pulled it up and I showed her, like, these songs are on my watch. She was like, oh my gosh, I've had this watch for how long and I didn't know that. it was like one of the first things they did. It actually works really well. But my problem has been, I want GPS. I want my phone. I want to be able to make phone calls. I want to be, especially when I'm running.
Yeah.
It doesn't, until they put a cellular antenna in it, it doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense for me necessarily, but for a lot of people, that's huge. They don't want to run with their phone, but they want GPS, and this will give them what they want. So it does seem like a big, big upgrade. So of your three biggest, upgrades to the watch, one is waterproofing for swimmers. One is GPS for runners and hikers. One is, what was the other one?
Like, where are you going with this?
There was another, what was the other big upgrade? Oh, one was just speed and power. So it's like, of their biggest upgrades to this watch, they're almost all pointed towards athletes and athletics and health sensing. Like, this was pitched when it first was launched as a luxury smartwatch, and it's clearly now becoming a luxury fitness tracker. Like, that's what it is. And which makes sense to me, because that's how I use it. I love having updates on my wrist, and I love using the health tracking portions of it. But then, and those are what I rely on it, like, mostly for. I don't interact through it very much, especially because of the speed that it's at, it's just not great for interacting. Like, I loved the idea of having a calculator on my wrist, and it just doesn't work great as a calculator.
It should be improving with things like that, with, you know, if apps are preloading and they've got a faster chip and things like that, it should be better, which is good, and should enable some of those more third-party apps. But I think it's, like, this is classic Apple. They launch something, they have their particular vision for it, and then eventually they see how people are using it and go, all right, let's focus on that. That seems to be an area where people are using it. Let's make that better. And then once they feel like they've got that down, they're going to, I would not be surprised to see that their next one is more of a, like, a scientific health type of.
Right.
And then they're going to say, all right, now, finally, 4 years later, you can design your own watch faces.
Right.
And we've created a cool app that you have to download it. You have to own a Mac or an iPhone in order to create.
Yeah, it drives me nuts that they don't allow developers to build watch faces.
Just wait. I mean, the watch face is the Apple Watches cut and paste.
Yeah.
That's like this obvious thing that everyone thinks they should have that everyone else provides and lets you do, that Apple, they're gonna hold off. And it's because they need to figure out a way to do it in such a way that makes sense.
Yeah. Which I get, and I get it from especially from a copyright issue. Like, that's something that they want to, like, that's something that they're very worried about. Just do it like the App Store, you know, where, like, regular, whatever. It is obvious. It doesn't just seem obvious. It is obvious. They're not doing it on purpose, like you said. I mean,
I'm there. We saw this with, I think, the iPod Touch is a classic example of that, right? They launched this thing like, it's a music player, it's awesome. And then, like, a year later went, it's a game player, it's awesome. And he went, all right.
They finally figured out what their product is, which is part of the...
That happens.
Which is good.
That's one of their strong points, is they are... And I think, like, people are like, can they keep going without Steve Jobs? And it's like, you know what? This part of that DNA, that part of saying, yeah, we're going to launch it with the vision, we think we know where it's headed, but then we are going to meticulously watch customers and pay attention to what they're doing, and we're going to invest in where they're already headed. Like, that's a huge, huge skill of theirs.
Right.
And I was reading an article that was like, no, Apple's strategy is innovation by 1,000 tweaks. And and they're doing them in the right direction. It's genuinely, and this will actually be really interesting for the discussion at the end, around earbuds. It's genuinely, we're focused on the customer and we want to create things that people like, and we want to make whatever it is that they're doing easier. And it just works as a general rule.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you and on that, that they've done a very good job moving forward. And the other cool part about it is it's like they own so much of the stack on this thing. It's funny that they're calling them the Series 1 versus the Series 2. It's not the Apple Watch 2. It's the Apple Watch Series 2. They're trying to keep that
mystery. Still highbrow.
I know. It's a luxury brand. But the Series 1 watches, which is what I own, you can still buy them for $100 less. But just because of the nature of how they're making the silicon, it doesn't make sense to make two different versions of the internal chips. So they're just putting the same chip into the Series 1. Yeah, exactly. And they're not waterproofing it, and they're not you don't get GPS, but you get the faster chips in your watch. And I'm like, I want to upgrade.
I know. Well, and at that $250 price point, like now they're competitive price wise with like Pebble and a whole bunch of other watches.
Yeah.
You know, the whole pricing thing that people complain about, you go, okay, it's gone.
Right. Yeah.
Now what? Now it's just a question, do you own an Android or an iPhone? And if you own an iPhone, boy, the answer becomes pretty obvious pretty quick. Or are you okay with charging it every day, or do you only want to charge it once every 5 days?
Right.
That's now the discussion, which I think is whatever. It's what they do. They've done it for how many products in a row now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just it's clever, and it works for Apple. I like it. I like it. My girlfriend, she was so distraught. Just like, I think she has genuinely liked her watch. And I think she started, like, in the last, like, couple of weeks talking herself into not, like, that she doesn't really like it that much, that she doesn't value it that much. I know. And then we watched the keynote, and she was like, I have to get the Apple Watch 2.
Yes.
This is what I've been wanting all along.
Series 2.
This is what I argue Series 2. She's like, this is like, it's got all the functionality. She was like, every time we go in a pool, we have to take our watches off. That drives me crazy. I just want to be able to go in the pool with my watch. And I was just like, Diana, it's not that big of a deal to take your watch off. But I've done the very same thing to myself so many times where, like, I've got this good product and I know the next generation's coming out. And so I'd start looking at my thing so critically, being like, oh, this thing's awful. Oh,
it's going to take everything in me not to watch the next iPad event next year.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I knew I wasn't, like, I just cannot upgrade all of these things right now. So, like, this entire lead up and even during the conference, I was fine. I'm okay with it because I've been convincing myself that what I have is good enough. No, I don't need waterproofing. I don't need GPS. What? I already have that. It's fine.
Then that faster chip got you.
I know. It's killing me. But we'll see what watchOS 3 does.
It's so unbearable. I think it's something where they decided, at least for today, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Phones, those are for everybody. And I think they're okay with it. And I'm okay with it. And yeah.
That means, you know, so I keep referring them to as a luxury brand. But they're clearly not a luxury watch anymore. They have made that decision by getting rid of their luxury version of it.
They probably just didn't sell very many of them.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just that was entirely it. Nobody wanted a gold Apple Watch, and because you can't buy
anymore.
You
knew it was going to be obsolete in a year.
Yeah. They're literally not on the market anymore, which I think is interesting. It would be fascinating to see how many they sold, because as we've talked about, they were so expensive. You didn't need to sell very many of them. If they sold 10,000 of them worldwide, that would have more than justified that business.
But it's one of those where you kind of knew something was up when they started coming out with those same colors in the aluminum.
Yeah.
And you're this is interesting. Okay. They're headed in this direction. And now it's
right.
Like, those are done. Which,
that being said,
I think we're all okay with it.
they do have the new ceramic watch, because they still have the edition category.
Yeah.
And they have, and it's the, but instead of it being made out of gold, it's being made out of ceramic, which is kind of cool. And, like, it looks nice. I guess that's actually, that was another one that my girlfriend was, she actually asked, a couple of, like, a month or two ago, she was like, why don't they make it out of ceramic? And my response was, because it's brittle. I mean, it's strong, but it's brittle. It doesn't deform. It just shatters. And she was like, oh, okay, interesting. Which, I still stand, is a correct statement. Evidently, I overestimated how brittle it was. You know, because that is the truth of it is that they are way stronger than stainless steel. Ceramic's incredibly strong. And but strength is there's strength and there's yield. There's hardness and there's yield. You put those things together to get your strength. So ceramic is way harder, and rubber has an incredible amount of yield. In other words, you can stretch it and it
what's
and
glue falling to? If I'm rubber, you're glue.
Depends. Is it hardened yet? Glue.
I don't think so, because whatever you say will bounce off of me and stick to you.
There we go. But it's like ceramics are incredibly hard. They do not scratch. They do not deform at all. But if you try to deform it even a little bit, they shatter. And so it's. But I'm like, I want to give it a go. I want to see.
They like, can they super chip? Nice. Like, is that like that's what I'm like? I'm imagining. Okay, I drop my watch, and it like if it's metal, either get a slight indentation or a chip it or something. I just wouldn't get an indentation, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it wouldn't
shatter like glass.
Say it will. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's one of those things where it's like it will not scratch. It will not take on any Mars until the moment that it takes on a Mar, and then it will shatter like glass.
All of them.
Yeah. Now, that being said, ceramic is incredibly hard. Like, it's really hard to do that. You wouldn't do that by just... You could hit it against the wall as hard as you could, and it's not going to shatter, hopefully, unless you get it... So, it's unless you get it on a fracture plane, and then it's a completely different topic. But it looks nice. I want to see it in real life, and it costs, like... It costs like $1,200, which is quite a bit different than the Apple, the earlier editions, which started at $10,000. So that was the Apple Watch. It seems pretty good. Like you said, it's a great example of Apple's innovation. You launch a product with an ideal, users don't use it that way, and then you start to go and start to innovate in the direction they're going. And yeah, I think it's a good direction, and I'm excited to see where it's going. And sounds good, but that brings us to the next product category that was launched this week. Which is getting real-time collaboration. That's really cool. I don't know. You say whatever, and I'm still going to use Google as my go-to for Google Docs live collaboration stuff. But the fact that was a missing component of iWorks really was kind of like, when I realized how hard it was to edit things, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding. I have to export this file to them. They have to download it, then take it back. And now I have two copies, one edited and one not. What is going on? Like, this is 2016, Apple. So I'm glad to see that they've gotten that.
It's funny. Sorted. At work, we use Microsoft Office stuff.
Yeah.
And we use OneDrive to share all of our files. And I literally, when I create something, I put a copy of it onto OneDrive to share with my team, because people will go in and edit things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? No, this was read only.
Yeah.
And it's super annoying. So I've learned to like have my own personal copy, and I'm not going to mess with the official one. And
yeah,
because some people even go in and like delete it. Like, why?
Yeah.
And so super annoying. And so that's one of the downsides of collaboration. What's it if you're working on it together? All right, cool. It'd be nice if there was an option to say like, and read only now.
Or, yeah,
it's weird because like if it's Excel, well, I want you to be able to use it.
Well, that's the nice.
It's weird.
That's the nice part about the Google, how Google does collaboration is you can, you've got the owner and you can selectively turn on and off who can edit it and when. And it sounds like that's how Apple's doing it as well, which I'm
it's just hard with like Excel, but
yeah. Did you watch the keynote? Did you actually watch the keynote or did you just read? Okay. So that the lady who did the presentation on the iWorks collaboration. Oh my gosh. She's so annoying. Her cadence was ridiculous. It sounded so weird. I was like, what is going on? It's just, what is wrong with her? Just talk normally. And she was it was Will Shatner-esque, but like a bad Will Shatner.
Shaded lines, my man. It's okay. Leave her alone.
I know. But man, it was a, it's cool. Product, I guess. I love how they like did the live editing of the keynote, which if you are listening and not watching, I just did my finger quotes when I said live editing. It's like that was a video. That's this whole thing is a video. Like you went into, you opened up a separate like the, I don't know. It's behind the scenes stuff. But anyways, so yeah, the iPhone was what they announced next, and it came with a couple of different upgrades.
Colors.
Colors, I know.
Is that what you meant? A couple different colors?
Yeah. The black and the jet black. I like the jet black. I think it looks cool. I want that. I want to know how they do that. Get that glossy.
Didn't you watch the video?
I did watch the video. That didn't answer my question.
It's got this powder that they rub the phone on, and then they polish it. And then they do this metal sticky, give you nightmare dreams that it goes over.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah. I mean, if you know anything about anodizing aluminum, it's really impressive that they have a gloss finish on the black. And clearly, it's I personally think it has to do with the black pigments and how they're how the black pigment works, because why didn't they do that with the white one? Why not have a gloss finish the silver? But you obviously can't.
Gotta save something for the 10-year anniversary. Come on.
Ooh, I know. Jeez. I
would consider that one. That'd be pretty cool. You wouldn't see his scratches as much.
Yeah, because I've heard that's the biggest, like, on the website, on the Apple website,
I know.
They're like, by the way, this thing scratches.
I told Jesse, I was like, are you okay with that? She's like, I'm gonna put a case on it. I'm like, why? Okay.
If you can't see it,
is it really there?
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that which I think is a big deal. I'm always surprised at how big of a deal that is to people, like what color it is and how it looks on the outside. Which, I don't know why I'm surprised by that, but I always am. Like, how, like, no, that is seriously one of your primary concerns for a large portion of their customer base.
I care about what the front looks like.
Yeah.
So I go with a light color, because I want the white front.
Right.
I think white and silver looks cool, so I do that. If silver wasn't available, I'd probably get the gold, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't care as much, is what I'm trying to say. I really, 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 really would love to figure out how to not have a case anymore. And there's a part of me that's like, all right, if I'm on the annual upgrade program, how big of a deal is it that I have a case now? If I drop,
you got Apple Care Plus.
Do I care? I don't know. I'm like, I've got the super thin, what do they call it, the featherweight case. Not one of theirs, obviously. I've got the Incipio case, which a lot of the cases that I see, they have buttons that cover, or they have plastic that cover your buttons. You know what I'm trying to say? And I hate that. I'm just like, no, which is what I like about the Incipio case. I'll show you. You can see it has a slit for all the buttons, which I really like. That and a bunch of cases, like if you go to Amazon's website that was up a little earlier than it should have been, and you look at all the cases, they have full plastic across the top. And you're like, guys, that shouldn't be anymore because there's a speaker there now.
Yeah.
So you're just like, eh, I don't know. We'll see. But I'll probably end up getting one eventually. But man, I would love to figure out a way to live life without a case. I don't have a screen protector. Honestly, that causes more scratches than the glass.
Oh, but yeah. No, yeah, you're definitely... If you have a screen protector on your phone, you're doing it wrong. Like, those scratch. Your Gorilla Glass screen can't scratch. And if there's something that can cause it to shatter...
I literally... I'm just looking at my phone's screen right now. Okay, I see... one scratch, which I have to catch it in the light just right to barely see it.
And mine...
that's it?
And mine, I drop my phone all the time. I fiddle with my phone all the time. I do not have a single scratch on my screen. And...
you should check.
I can't because I'm talking to you.
You probably have, like mine. Like, I... honestly, I was about to say, I don't have any. And then
I really looked really closely.
That may not even be a scratch.
I really obsessively look at these things all the time. I'm telling you, I do not have a scratch on my glass. But the funny part is, it's like the argument for why you shouldn't have a screen protector is anything that is any force that is hard enough to scratch the glass will break the glass, and your screen protector won't do anything to prevent that. But but things that can scratch the screen very often will just leave giant scratches on your screen protector. Like it literally doesn't help the screen at all. So yeah, don't have one of those. But you're
I want the sense. Body to get to that point, and it's not. It's
just ceramic. Ooh.
Ooh. I would think about it if I could get rid of the case. I mean, I'm like my cases. I spend like what, $5 on them, $10. So it's not. It wouldn't be a money saving thing. But man, it just. Run with a native. That's what I'm talking about.
I've been thinking about going without a case on my phone because my case has become kind of heavily damaged. But it's become heavily damaged because I drop it all the time. Like, this is a bad idea. Maybe I should just get a new case.
It's probably a good call.
Yeah. So the iPhone.
If I could figure out just to have like four stickers on the corner, I would be okay with that.
That looks so ugly.
I know, but that's all I need.
I understand. The iPhone 7, though, it comes with... they call it the iPhone 7, not the 6SE. Which, thank goodness. I can't believe that balloon was even floated. but, yeah. Even though it looks like virtually identical to... the 6S.
Hopefully, this means a big update for next year.
Hopefully, that means this is the end of the ridiculous S naming convention. Like, there's got to be a better way. It's time, please. Yeah, I know. You know what?
I would love it for 10 years. Just go, and it's now iPhone.
Yes. Okay. You know what my concern is? That they're gonna go for the they're going to, for the 10, you're going to be like, and now it's just iPhone. Everybody's like, yeah, we're done with the ridiculous S. And
what do they call like the 8T?
Yeah, right. Well, no. And then what's going to happen is on the 11th year, they're going to be like, it's the iPhone S. Like, no, it's back. Jeez. But... So they call it the iPhone S and 7S, and you're right, the iPhone 7. they announced some new cameras. So it sounds like the 7 has the same camera or a similar camera to the 6S Plus, because the 6S Plus came with optical stabilization, so it mechanically actually moves the aperture in order to keep everything stabilized. The 6S, the normal size one, doesn't have that. Now, both phones have the optical images stabilization, yep. which is pretty nice. It works real good, especially in low light situations. But the 6S Plus, no, the 7S, no, jeez,
no.
the 7 Plus, the new
there
phone.
We go.
This one has dual camera lenses now, which
what?
We knew was happening. They're both 12 megapixel cameras. They're designed to give you better zoom.
AR? Oh, no.
So this is a weird, like, I like Phil Schiller, generally speaking, and he's such a dork. And he tries,
yes.
like, one of the big rules of Apple presenting new technology is always don't focus on the tech. Don't give us stats, don't give us numbers, don't, like, just, like, obvious, like, don't present it like everybody's a nerd. Present it like normal people are watching this. And Phil always, like, he always walks just on the wrong side of that line. Like, he always goes a little
yes.
too nerd, a little too straightforward. And so that's exactly what he did with the camera, which I appreciated, because he just explained, okay, this is how it works. which is kind of fun to learn. So basically what happens is...
Well, I think part of it... I mean, yes, he clearly has that. But I think the way he justifies it, if I may, is he goes, I'm giving our fanboys a new vocabulary to
yeah.
use to defend with us. And it's like... And you saw that with the Apple Watch as well, where they were like, we're going to give you all these fancy words that no one really knows, but now you will because you paid attention. It's like the I can't even say, I want to call it the Broca effect, but I'm pretty sure that's not it. It's just Broca, isn't it? It's like, oh, I didn't know that word.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a thing. I knew about the whole blurry background, and that's what I would have called it, and now I have a word for it.
Yeah, the blurry background look. Oh, that's funny. So basically what happens is the camera is two cameras. They're both 12 megapixel cameras. They're effectively the same camera with one difference. The zoom on it. One of them has a 2x zoom built in. It's because the problem is that when it comes to mechanical zooms, which is how high-end cameras with the really big lenses do multiple ranges of zoom that all look really good, they have mechanical zooms where they actually change the focal length of the different lenses, giving
right.
you different zooms. Well, that's literally what they did. They created different lenses at different focal lengths so that they could, one is a fixed 2x zoom, one is a fixed 1x zoom. And so when you zoom up to a 2x picture, you get an actual, not digitally zoomed in picture. And how digital works, like how digital zoom works, is it is exactly like when you have a picture on your computer screen and you zoom in, or it just makes all the pixels bigger. Like that's literally all it's doing, which is why everybody always says never use the digital zoom. Just take a picture and zoom in later. That's
yeah.
fine. It's literally the same algorithm. There's no difference. It's just one captures all the data and then zooms in. The other only captures that small chunk of data. And so you can't look around at the screen and at the rest of the image. So this one actually gives you a much better zoom as a result. But they explained how it works. And so you can do up to a 10x zoom, where they start with the 2x and then they do a digital zoom after that up to 10x.
Yeah.
And it looks terrible, like any digital zoom looks. And everybody's
Naturally.
Sitting there, yeah, and everybody's sitting there going, what is happening with Apple right now? Like, so before the last week, one was my big prediction. They were going to do AR, right?
Totally.
That's what they were going to do. They didn't announce AR at all. And there's no reason for it. It doesn't make sense to me what happened with the camera, because they clearly spent a lot of money and time doing it, and they went into the whole Broca effect but that's not even coming. Like, you won't get that until October, I think it is. It's going to come as a software update.
A free software update? Come on.
A free software update? But it's but they're when you say exactly. But the thing is, it's like, but the Broca effect takes advantage of the same things that I'm talking about. It creates a depth map. Using that depth map, it is able to differentiate between the subject and the and the background. And they're using machine learning and they're using computer vision to make to figure out what the subject of the picture is, and then programmatically blurring the background. And so they're using the depth map to tell the difference, and of all the different layers. And then they and what's cool about that is that it like creates this one really awesome filter. But you can do that same effect once you have the depth map, and once you have a knowledge of what is the central figure, you can now input graphics, artificial reality graphics, anywhere at any level, and have things pass behind, have things pass in front, and know the difference between those things. Like,
what if, how do I want to say it? Like, so they're working on the Broca. Is that it? Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Is it Chewbacca or Chewbacca?
It's the Broca effect.
Broca. Anyways, the Broca effect. So they're still working on it. So it's not done yet.
Right.
And I think all that to say, they know about AR. They're getting the hardware in place. They're working on figuring out kind of how the software works with the Broca effect. And I hope what's going to happen, And I think it's probably true, is they're opening up the API of both cameras to developers.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay, fair enough. I think they will eventually. And that's when they'll do something themselves and they'll have other developers do it too. And I think that might be how they decide to do it. I feel like they just ran out of time.
You know? I think that's the case.
I mean, obviously they did with the Broca effect, right? They just couldn't finish it, which I know, extra credit, blah, blah, blah. Dude, when your boss says you should do this, it's never extra credit, just for the record. And so, they just ran out of time. That's all. And I think it'll get there, but now that they got the hardware in place, they're going to mess with it. They're going to figure it out. I was going to say,
that's the big thing, is that now it is there now. And because also the other thing to talk about is that the whole Lytro effect of being able to have multiple focal lengths, which is kind of what the Broca effect was. But part of the whole Lytro thing is that you can improve your digital zoom through the use of having two different lenses. You can pick up supplemental information that you otherwise can't, but it's a super complicated algorithm. Like it is not easy to figure out the best way to optimize cameras to use two lenses to make a better picture than you could make from either lens.
Right. I would love to see that.
And that's another thing that I think is, you'll see that come in iOS 11 or whatever the next one is. You'll see that come along, and they will. How did they get an iOS ahead?
What? They're on 10.
Yeah. But for their 10-year anniversary, they're going to come out with iOS 11.
Oh. I don't know.
It's weird. I've got to think about that for a second. There's probably a really easy answer to that. Our listeners are like, you're such a...
Probably super easy. And like year one or two, they did multiple updates in a year or something like that.
Maybe that was what it was. Yeah. But
because you remember, they used to launch these things in March and April.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So yeah, this goes to like you said, I think they ran out of time for a lot of these cool effects. And to me, the big question is: do you open it up to third parties so third parties can do this digital work?
Eventually,
or are they going to keep it closed to developers so that they can develop the technology internally and have it baked into their software? And I
think it's going to be exactly like Siri, where they're going to keep it for themselves for a couple years and then eventually say, okay, we're ready in a limited way to open it up to you.
I know. And, it bums me out.
And then eventually it'll be less limited and things like that. Mm. They're crazy cautious with that.
Let's move on.
So I guess the only other thing is, the big deal is it's water resistant as well.
Yeah.
That one, they didn't say swimmable. They used some really technical term, which I don't really know what that means, but like, it looks like you can fall in a lake and be okay with your phone. On that, no big other deal, right? Just
yep, just it.
That's the processor, blah, blah, blah.
It's the new phone. Yeah.
So they got rid of it. All right, thanks for listening. We'll talk.
Did you hear the clip? Jimmy Kimmel does this every once in a while. Well, he'll go through and he'll get audio clips from all these different newscasters using the exact same like phrase for some reason.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was like 3 minutes of newscasters all saying, reporting that night of, and Apple is saying, hit the road, Jack. It's like, and you sit there and you be like, they have to be coordinating this. Like, there has to be somebody saying, you have to say this during your broadcast at some point. It's ridiculous. It's just, it's so bad. But, so, yeah.
That's funny.
I'm just going to jump in with my opinion on this one, if that's all right.
Yeah, dude, everyone knows what we're talking about, so, yeah.
Yeah, so they got rid of the headphone jack, but I think, and we said this a couple weeks ago, I've been saying it for a while, that getting rid of the headphone jack, that's probably a good thing. I think they did a horrible job explaining it.
Really?
I think they're getting beat up for it, and I think they kind of deserve it, because I get where the courage thing. So for those of you who didn't watch it, Phil Schiller said, a lot of people are going to ask why we did this, and we have a couple of reasons, but I think it can be summed up with one word, courage. And then he kind of, you know, the courage to do something different. And then he kind of went on and explained briefly why they did it. They're like, you know, save space. We can, you know, there's more things that we want to pack in the iPhone, and we have to make choices. And this is a technology. Yeah. And this is a technology that was developed in the 30s, you know, and for phones or, you know, for switchboards and stuff. And just, it's this old thing. It hasn't seen any innovation and it's time. And then they kind of like moved on from there. And I was like, everybody's been beating them up over the whole courage comment, and I think that's completely fair. It sounded so stupid on stage. Like, what? Courage? What is that? And what really drives me nuts is the fact that Apple had a, there was when Apple wouldn't support Flash for iOS, there was all sorts of conversations about it. And one of the things that Steve Jobs wrote about it is he said, we feel like we need to stick, we have the courage to stick to our convictions, and we are convicted that supporting Flash will not make a better product, and so we are not going to do that. And the theory is that is what Phil Schiller was referencing when he said courage.
Oh.
But he didn't say like
people
Steve Jobs
way
says it.
Too much.
I know.
About this.
I know. But and this is my problem.
Saying a lot coming from us, for the record.
And this is my problem with it's unfair to ask what would Steve Jobs have done. It really is. Steve Jobs thought music was incredibly important. Now, does that mean that he would think that you need to have easily available music output, and so you should keep the headphone jack? Or does that mean he would have said, no, we want the best quality music with the best experience, which means get rid of the headphone jack? Like, it's impossible to know which way he would have gone on that one and how they would have handled it, but I can tell you he would have handled the presentation completely differently. And I was thinking about it is like, because I was having this problem where I'll just read what I wrote really quick, and I was like, I don't want courage. I want practical examples of why this benefits me as a customer. Tell me what you added to the phone by getting rid of the jack. Tell me why there isn't a current use case that I should be worried about, like charging the phone while listening to music on the plane. or what I'm doing right now. Like, I couldn't do what I'm doing right now with the new phone. I'd have to get an extra dongle to be able to do that, where I'm charging my phone, I'm talking to you, and I have the headphones in. Tell me why the Lightning audio is better than regular audio. I thought they really needed to knock this explanation out of the park, and I think they fell short of it. Instead of spending 10 minutes pitching new headphones with limited battery, high expense, and they make you look like a nerd.
It's the new Bluetooth.
Yeah. And I know. And instead of doing that, they spent it all. They spent way too little time talking about why we're removing the jack and way too much time pitching the new headphones. And I kept thinking about this, and it was really bothering me. And I was like, you know what is a great, because everybody's like, oh, they killed the CD. They killed the floppy disk. And I'm like, okay, the floppy disk is interesting because it was a legacy equipment that was already, the new technology was built into every device. Everybody was already using CDs. It was just support for legacy technology. And they're not talking about, like, that one was really easy to get rid of for most consumers, because most consumers weren't using that as their primary input device. And you're like, so that one I don't think works as a great analogy. What I do think works as a better analogy is the CD, specifically with the MacBook Air, getting rid of it. There wasn't really a complete replacement. And so I went back and I watched the keynotes for the MacBook Air, because this was bothering me so much. I was like, it feels different. And what was it that Steve Jobs did? And so basically how he starts is he talks about what's currently out in the market and how, like, oh yeah, there's laptops and they're this big and they're pretty great. They're pretty great. And they have these characteristics and they have these characteristics. Well, we asked what are characteristics that we like, what are characteristics that we don't, and kind of goes through it. And then he says, and so this is what we came up with. And he pulls the MacBook Air out of the yellow envelope thing. Right. And everybody's like, ooh, it's so small. And then he asks the question, how did we do this? And he goes a little more technical than he ever does. And they show the inside, the graphics with the inside of the computer, and you've got the battery, and you've got the hard drive, and you got this PCB. And he talks about how, you know, we're using this one hard drive. It's the same hard drive you're using in the iPod. So we've got a lot of experience on it. And then he has the PCB come out, and he says, this is an entire Mac right here on this one PCB. And they have, like, the image of the pencil right next to it, so you can see how small it is. And then they had Intel come out, and how Intel had to re-engineer how they package their Atom chips to fit in there, and they're talking about all this engineering and all this time, and he's going into, without the normal engineering nerdiness, he's going into the conversation about balancing what we want versus, you know, the engineering balance of, we have to make choices. These are the choices we made, and this is why we made it. And what he's telling you is, look, there is not much room here. We have very, very, very little room. We had to make compromises, and we made huge efforts to make as few compromises as we possibly could. So you get a 13-inch widescreen screen. You get the full keyboard. You get a full hard drive. You get a reliable hard drive. You get all this different stuff. And then he goes through and he says, finally, he goes through the ports that you get, and finally he says, the one thing you won't see on this, no matter how hard you look, is a CD drive. And he said, but we don't think people are going to miss it. And then he brings up four use cases. He says, watching movie, downloading software, doing backups, and burning CDs for music. And he said, well, we don't think music really counts because everybody's got an iPod. He goes, nobody burns CDs anymore. You're like, fair enough. Okay, he said, in movies, we've got this really great piece of software, iTunes, where you can rent movies, which at the time, everybody was like, or Netflix or Hulu or whatever, but that was the point. Yeah. He said, you know, video isn't what it used to be. You can stream it now. And then he said, so they had backups. He's like, we've got software for backups. And then so the last piece of the puzzle was downloading software. And that's when they pitched the $50 dongle, which is the super drive, or they had software that allowed you to use other PCs and Macs as your drive for your MacBook Air. And so this was the thing. And then he did the sandwich thing of, as soon as he got done explaining why it doesn't have it, he then talked about battery life and how this is one of the best battery lives in a laptop out there. at the time, it was 5 hours. Woo! which is amazing to think that that was such a huge deal. But it was a huge deal because not only was it the smallest laptop, but it had one of the best battery lives. And what he did was he basically, in a very short period of time, he focused entirely on it. The entire conversation hinged on why are we killing the CD drive, because it was important, because they were going to be doing it to every laptop in the entire lineup for the next decade. Like, we're getting rid of CDs, guys. And so he hinged the entire conversation on this one product. It also was a niche product with a particular use case where most people buying it already had another computer. So it was okay that we're doing this. And what I think is, like, on the iPhone, it is the most valuable product on Earth. Like, you've sold billions of them. You're going to sell tens of millions of these things. You're getting rid of one of the most used features of the phone. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying you got to do a great job of explaining why. You have to do a better than a great job. And I think they didn't. I really was disappointed. I can talk about what you got rid of it, but it's like, I know it's small. Like, you're selling me a dongle that has the entire digital to analog converter built into it. That's really small. People are going to look at that and say, well, you couldn't fit this in the phone, you know? And you're like, which there's validity to that argument. Tell me why. What did you put in the place? What were the constraints? Why wasn't it? Why? What am I getting instead of this? And, you know, especially since you're right, most people have come up with a solution to the battery problem. Either A, it's not that big of a deal because they already have enough battery, or B, they're like me and charge it constantly. And if you're like me, this is a really big problem. And if you're like you, you don't care that you get more battery because you don't need it. And I just sit there and I go, like, I felt like they really fell short. I was really disappointed by it. And I make me feel good about it.
Yeah, they could have talked about how, like you said, we were able to add a better Taptic engine to this that actually would give you different feedback for different things. It's waterproof.
Right, yeah.
Would have been a big one. Yeah, I think they could have done a better job of laying out some of the, like, yeah, here's why. And yeah, maybe they're a little early on it. It would have been really interesting, actually, had they kept the headphone jack, maybe like last year, kept the headphone jack, but then the default was headphones that plugged into Lightning.
Right. That's, yeah, or commit to this on any product before it. The MacBook, the latest MacBook that is replacing the Air, it has two ports, a USB-C and a headphone jack. Why the heck did you put a headphone jack in that thing? Like, what message are you sending? Like, I'm so confused by it. I get why they did it. But I feel like there was real tone deafness in the idea that, oh, this is going to be fine. We don't have to work that hard at this. And
now what's interesting is because of the way they work, where they literally are just selling one phone, which will be interesting to see how sales of their previous phone, of the 6S, does now.
Yeah.
But they're going to have millions of customers switch over just because we are. And so it's this weird, yeah, they can get away with doing something dumb for at least a cycle or two.
Yeah.
And just because the nature of it is they're going to have a ton of people just buy it, regardless. Again, I fall into that category.
Yeah.
And now, if for whatever reason it turns out to be horrible, yeah, they may reverse course. We'll see. I think they, you know, if the headphones were $100 less, than the Bluetooth ones, if they were reasonably priced, which maybe we should talk about that later too, okay, maybe. But man, it sure seems like they're just, I don't know, the prices are so much where I'm like, well, I'm not going to get those.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because that would be the other answer, right? Well, here, these headphones, reasonably priced, great alternative. and they're not.
Before we talked about this show, before the show, we talked about how I'm in a hotel with really great free internet, included internet. And you were saying how one of the reasons you don't like staying at luxury hotels is because they always charge more for, they always charge for internet. It's not, doesn't come complimentary.
It's true.
And they don't charge for internet because they sit there and go, this is an expensive hotel. Those people can afford it, so we'll charge them for it. And you're like, that seems counterintuitive. I've already invested in a lot. Just give it to me. Make it easy. And I feel like Apple is like, look, I'm investing in this thing. Make this easy on me, man. Like, I don't know. I think Bluetooth is a great, you know, a great addition. And I love how people are like, a lot of people are like, oh, Square, you know, this is fighting Square. Like, they're upset that people can use the card readers. And you're like, it still works. It comes with a headphone ejector. Not ejector. Adapter.
yeah.
You can just plug it in. It doesn't take away that functionality. Oh, and by the way, Square doesn't like those anymore. They want you to use their Bluetooth version with the chip reader. And that's the other funny part about it is that, like, you know, I actually get a lot of the complaints that people have. But at the same time, it's like, it's not that it doesn't have a phone adapter. It does. And, like, okay, maybe.
Yeah, so one of my cars, it actually plugs into the Lightning port to play music. So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. The other one, it does use the headphone jack. So I'm just going to take one of our two adapters, and I'm going to put it into the car.
And those,
all right, I'm good, whatever.
And those adapters are pretty affordable. They're $9 from Apple, which means they're going to be $0.50 if you buy it from Amazon. Like, they're really not going to be that big of a deal. And the other funny part about it is that from a music quality perspective, like, we were talking about it when the first time this really came up on the show was we were talking about, I can't remember which Android device it was, but they announced that they were having 4 digital to analog converters put into the phone to get a better sound. They were doubling down on the headphone jack. And I think that's the point. Is that Apple sitting there saying, look, in order to keep up with this sound quality battle built into the phone, we're going to lose. We'll lose that battle. And we're going to take up more and more space for a technology that we want to move away from. And so it's like, I don't have a problem with them doing it. But the one use case that really drove me nuts, I can't believe they didn't address this directly, was the, I want to charge my phone and I don't have Bluetooth headphones. And I want to listen to music. The classic, I'm on an airplane. You know, on a flight, oftentimes you can charge your phone while you're on these really long flights. But your Bluetooth headphones aren't going to be, you don't want to have to charge your headphones and your phone. Like, I just want to be able to plug in my headphones into my phone and charge my phone. That really doesn't feel like that should be that big of a deal. And so they have this $40 adapter that you can buy. And I'm like, why not mention that? Why not mention that you have an adapter that will have 2 ports so that if you do need that for some reason, for any reason, we have a solution. Why not mention that? Like, why did you miss this, like, one use case that really seems like, and it's funny, I've heard tons of people, not tech people, but normal people, bring this up as a, well, yeah, but what about this? And Apple's answer saying, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, they've got data where they can tell how often people have both things plugged in at the same time because the phone can sense both. So the phone's keeping track of that. And every time you submit, you know, if you submit your data to do you mind giving, like, what's that stuff? When you first turn on iOS, it always asks you, are you willing to give
anonymous usage data?
That's part of their data. They know how often people use both ports, like, at the same time. Why not tell us, look, most people don't use them both at the same time. It's really rare, actually. So, you know, sorry if that's a particular use case for you. I was going to say, and I guess that's the truth. But I gotta believe that most people are like that, and we're all heading that way. Like, it's going that way. Cars are coming out with more and more Bluetooth. Like, the auxiliary jack is going away. Bluetooth is the way that it's going to work. Like,
this is classic. We're there probably 2-3 years ahead of it being obvious.
Yeah,
and they're gonna speed it up, which is fine.
I guess what my problem is, again, it's not that they did it. It's that they did it horribly. Like
they just explained it horribly. Is that what
yeah,
you're
yeah.
Okay.
And I'm disappointed by Phil Schiller and co. on that front.
Well, yeah,
because
well.
it's not
okay. Well, okay.
Yeah, and it's not. And my point is that this stuff matters. This is what makes Apple Apple. This is what makes good companies is the ability to communicate to their totally. Customers. And I feel like they did not do that.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of communicating, we got about 5 more minutes to do that.
Oh no. Okay. Sony has a new PlayStation coming out.
Yeah, you're gonna get it.
The PlayStation 4 Pro.
The Pro.
Which I'm confused by that name. It's a gaming system, a professional gaming system, I guess. Yeah, I guess they do have pro competitive now. I guess that makes sense. Okay, that's a less dumb name than I thought. No, I'm not going to. I read a lot about it, and they said the 4K. Like, it's really great if you want to do 4K gaming if you have a 4K screen. I was like, well, I don't, and I'm probably not going to get one for a while, so that's fine. To me, I was like, the only problem was like, what about the PlayStation VR? It will look better in the PlayStation VR. And they were like, yes, it will look better in the PlayStation VR, probably in a year or two. What? And they're like, yeah, it's just going to take it's going to take the developers a while to get there. If I were buying a new one today for the PlayStation, I definitely would get it, but you know, I can wait 2 years until there's a real differentiation in quality to sell my PlayStation and upgrade. And who knows? Okay. By then, I might be onto some other technology. So, no, I'm not getting it. But it just keeps them up to date now. Microsoft's doing the same thing with Xbox, and they also have a slim version of it that's even cheaper for like $300. So,
it's reasonably priced.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. Very cool. No new games, just hardware. That's all they talked about.
Yeah, pretty much.
From what everyone read later after the fact, since they did it the exact same time as Apple's event.
Yeah, but technically they did it as soon as Apple's event ended, which nobody's paid attention to.
Yeah, whatever. It's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you're just tired. And 2 hours of taking it in and reeling from the headphone jack.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love it. And I found a use case for 3D printing. Just real quick, stop motion animation.
Yeah.
It's a big deal because what they found is they can create a whole bunch of different heads and bodies that all look exactly the same. And all you're doing is digitally, it's kind of weird because it's not claymation anymore. It's you're literally going in a computer, designing a head, and then changing the head to the different frames that you'll need on your computer, and then for each of those saying, okay, go 3D print it. And then it makes each of those different things, and all you're doing is swapping out either like the face or the whole head itself. Now, having said that, they do have to have artists going in and at least touching up, if not painting the entire 3D printed image, to make sure that each one is like as close to exactly the same as possible. So there's still the human element there. But they've said like it's like been exponential on how many different parts and pieces they will have and how many different expressions they can give characters now because of exactly 3D printing. And the other one, which I think is super interesting, is because of 3D printing, they can make them a lot smaller now.
Yeah.
And so that's another way where they're actually saving money because they're like, yeah, because we can get the detail at that low of a level.
That's
and
really
so
interesting.
Just not as big.
You can make way more, but they cost less. Did you have you seen Kubo and the Two Strings?
No, it looks kind of, I don't know.
Is it really good? It's really good. Yeah, it's very good.
It looks dumb. I didn't want to quite say it, but
It's Charlize Theron and what's his name? Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, okay,
like are the two main voice actors. Yeah, it's real good. Like they did a great job with it. Yeah, okay. But
the trailer did not convince me. But anyways. So there you go. That's the news for the week. Apple happened. Pretty big time. So there you go, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And thank you so much for listening to episode 259. We really do appreciate it. No, really, we do. You can check out all the show notes. Frillybros.com/ 259. You can also get these show notes sent directly to you via email. All you got to do is sign up. It's super easy. And then finally, this podcast is supported by listeners just like you. So if you'd like to contribute, we have four different levels for which you can do it. Just go to the website, check it out. It'll explain how all of that works. So on that note, I am James Furlow, and okay, I got to think about this. And my, I got it. Long living and prosperous brother is Matthew Furlow. Haha. So we will talk next time. Thank you.